going back to our Old Testament text that was read to us from the book of Jeremiah, it reads to us once again in Jeremiah 29, verses 5 and 6. Build houses and live in them. Plant gardens and eat what they produce. Take wives and have sons and daughters. Take wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage, that they may bear sons and daughters. Multiply there and do not decrease. Many of you are aware, or if you have not, I'll tell you again, that when I was in my late teens and early 20s and maybe up to my 30s, I listened to a lot of rap music. Now, many of you may have done the same thing. Or maybe some of you listen to R&B. You like the classic crooners, you know, like Whitney Houston and others. Or maybe some of you like to listen to the Commodores or Earth, Wind, and Fire or Anita Baker. Or maybe some of you go back a little bit further to Marvin Gaye and the Temptations and the Manhattans and Gladys Knight and the Pips. And maybe some of you go a little bit even further back to the groups in Motown. And maybe some of you even go back further, I don't know. But music was important to me, and it was important to many others, especially in the African-American community. And I remember listening to some of the rap artists at the time. I remember listening to Biz Markie as he talked about the Vapors, and Curtis Blow, and Kool Moe Dee. And Special Ed, especially saying, I'm the Magnificent. And he used to say that all the time, and Run DMC and all the songs that they had produced. And I love KRS-One and Boogie Down Productions. And all this I loved to hear, and I listened to it over and over on the radio. Not the cell phone, y'all, the radio. Back in those days. Or if you were lucky, you had the little cassette. Or maybe the CDs that you heard the music on. And see, I love to listen to hard rap. I wasn't into that bubblegum rap like Will Smith from The Fresh Prince. That was just fun stuff. But I wanted something that had a message to it. And one of my favorite rappers that you listen to all the time was the duo Eric B. and Rakim. Now, if you know anybody, Eric B. and Rakim, they sang hard rap stuff. And there's a particular line in one of Rakim's songs named In the Ghetto, and he says this one line that caught my attention as we talk about our lesson for today. So much to say, but I still flow slow. I come correct, and I won't look back. Cause it ain't where you're from, it's where you're at. See, what was going on here, the Eric B. and Rakim, they were talking about in this particular place where they came from in New York and how they had come and how they had learned everything, but they were looking for something that was greater than where they were, but they were not going to forget where they came from. But they knew that where they came from in the ghetto there, they could not always stay there because it was not their purpose. So what do we do when we find ourselves in a strange land? What do we do when we're far away from home and from those that we love? How do we conduct ourselves? And how do we live? The plight of the Israelites here in Jeremiah was dire. For the Israelite leaders had found themselves not in their home anymore. They were now in exile from their allegiances with Assyria and Babylonia and Egypt, playing one across the other. They found that they were losing themselves. And the Lord had told them, for the things that you have been doing, not following my ways and not worshiping God, I'm going to take you away. And King Nebuchadnezzar from Babylon is going to come and overtake you and going to take you and break down the temple and take you to a place where you don't go, which means that all of them had went to Babylon. You see, they found themselves in a strange land. For as they had to leave their homes as they had to go and make that long journey from Judah and Jerusalem to Babylon, we find out when they arrived there, it was not as they had imagined. We find that there were different customs there. That if you washed your hands one way back in Judah and Jerusalem, you did them a different way there in Babylon. They found out that the money looked different and the food tasted a little bit different. They found out that the gods that were there were not of the Most High that they had been worshiping from before. We find out that the language that they had spoken was a little bit different. And we find out that they were not comfortable in the land where they were. You see, like the Israelites, and like us being in a different place, they miss being home. They miss the smells of the bread that was cooking in the oven. They miss the fellowship of the elders and the families. They missed going to the synagogue, having a place to worship that was central. They missed their loved ones, some who did not make it on the journey from Judah to Babylon. They missed being free in doing what the Lord had called them to do. We find out, like anybody else, when you find yourselves in a very strange situation, what you want to do, when you miss home, you want to go back, do you not? And many of us do the same thing today. Or we have done the same thing. We want to go on back home. Because home is a place where people and customs and our language is familiar. Many of us, when we have maybe grown up here in Raleigh or maybe grown up in the country, once we get away from the country, sometimes you want to go back to what you know. You want to go back to a time that seemingly at the time is simpler. It's easier. You know, sit at your mama's table, eat the food that she cooked, sit out on the porch and just look out with nobody bothering you. They want to go on back to what they were used to. And you can imagine that they dreamed and they thought of that each and every day, waiting for the day in which the Lord would allow them to go back to where they had come from. And what made it so bad is that even though they wanted to go back and they were dreaming and hoping, there were false prophets who were letting them know that you're going to come home soon. Telling them that don't unpack your boxes here in Babylon because you're not going to stay long because we're about to pick up and get on out of here in just a few minutes. And even the prophet Hananiah had appeared before Jeremiah and had a yoke around his neck and had broken and said, our yoke from the Babylonians are broken and we're going back. And you can imagine that the people had heard this and they got excited because, oh my gosh, I can't wait to leave this place and get back to where I have come from. But the problem was, it was not to be so. You see, brothers, they were not going home. And they were not going home anytime soon. And Hananiah and other prophets died because of what the Lord had told them. Because the Lord had told the people, don't listen to these false prophets. These false prophets will lead you wrong. For yet you're not going home anytime soon. So you can imagine that the people were suffering, dreaming day after day that I want to go on back home. I want to get back to what I'm used to. I want to return to the life that I had before. You see, their dreams and their thoughts were unraveling before their eyes. Have we not been in that situation before? That something that we really wanted, something that we were used to, we wanted to get back to, but knowing you can't go back home. You can't go back to what is familiar. And then on top of that, if they really thought they were going home, Jeremiah had a word from the Lord for them. For Jeremiah had sent this letter to them, letting them know that you to stay where you are. You need to build your houses and live in them and plant gardens and eat the produce that is here. You're to marry and to have families, give your sons and daughters away. You see, they weren't going nowhere. They felt like they were trapped. They felt like they were in prison. And they must have been wondering, Lord, how in the world are we going to stay here in this place that nobody knows us? I'm trying to talk to my Babylonian neighbor. I can't even speak the same language as them. I tried to go over and borrow a cup of tea or some sugar from them and get some wheat for them. They had called me out of my name. Finding out that they had to find places to worship the Lord their God because there were other gods that were being served in that place. They found out that no one loved them because they were foreigners in a strange land. And not only that, not only did the Lord tell them they had to stay there where they were, but they were to seek the welfare for the city and pray for the Babylonians. Now, it's bad enough being in a place that you're unfamiliar with. Bad enough being in a place where people talk about you and don't share anything with you. Bad enough that nothing is familiar. But you got to pray for these people as well? Did that make any sense to them? And does it make any sense to us? We don't want to be associated with them. We just want to go on back where we come from. They will return someday, but it won't be now. We find out that the Israelites had to stay there for a little bit. As uncomfortable, as different, as difficult as it was, God said, no, you can't go. You have to stay right here. If we look back in the life of Israel, and if we look back on our own lives, it's tempting for us to go back to what we know. You see, brothers and sisters, if you look back on your life, the Lord has brought you from a mighty long way. Amen. You see, most of us, or some of us, we got to college, we were happy to go to school, were we not? We could not wait to leave the house. We can't go to this party. We can't hang out with our friends. We got to be home 11 o'clock at night. You can't go out on Saturday night, because if you went out on Saturday night, you can go, but you sure better get them to go to church the next day. Y'all remember those days, do you not? And then when you thought everything was all right, when your parents dropped you off at school, and we said to you, or the parents said to you, all the things that you wanted, you can do right now. You can be free. And then we went out there and was free for a minute, were we not? But then something told us, we got to return to where we've come from. That we tired of playing around. The money ran out. The party ended. And we wanted to go back home. And some people did try to go back home. But I'm going to let you know about that in a minute. Some people tried to go on back home. But many of us found ourselves in a situation where we got homesick. And it would have, we would call our mama and daddy. And some of them would say, come back home. But others would say, it's too late now. You've got to tough it out where you are. And that's the same thing that God was telling the Israelites here. You can't go back home. See, we're tempted to go back home to return to what we know. See, because it's safe and it's secure. But it's not. We have people who will love us and who will always defend us. And it's what we know. We didn't know anything else. But see, the God that we serve is a God who loves us and a God who leaves us. And even when we believe that our dreams are unraveling, that we've got to stay in this place, and even when we're expecting to go to another place, that other promotion, that other job, that other relationship, God says, hold up, wait a minute. Because the plans I have for you are greater than the plans that you have for yourself. And yet we find out when God has other plans for us, God is trying to let us know that if you go back, you're going to get stuck. But some of us need to be unstuck. Some of us are keeping ourselves on a crutch, not knowing or not wanting to grow. But God moves us out of our comfort zone into a place where we're able to praise God for God's glory. You see, what it means, brothers and sisters, today, is that God wants us to bloom where we're planted. God calls us to appear to a particular place and a particular time, not because of our own desires and our own ways, but God is trying to use us where we are. If you look back on it, all over the creation of the arc of history, our ancestors came here from Africa. They were forced here from Africa, had to serve for a long time. But when somebody says today, we need to go back to Africa, it's we can't go back. This is our home here. That we can sing a new song in a strange land. We find out even today that our immigrant brothers and sisters, when they're coming here from Central America and when they're coming here from Africa, they're coming for a new life because they know they can't go back. That some of them, and we've seen even on the news, some of them when they go back to Honduras and Guatemala, they found themselves dead. We find out here that even for us who want to go back home, home is not going to be the same the way you left. You see, because God has moved us past the comforts of home. God has moved us into a new revelation. Now, we're happy to be home, but then we know that the home in which we grew up in is, we can't stay there. We have to get on back to the new thing that God has for us within our lives. And even here within the church, not Davis, I'm talking about the church at large, we want to go back to a 1950s and 60s church when everything was flourishing and people were going to church. But brothers and sisters, we don't live in that land anymore. We live in a new land. We live in a land where people don't care about the doors of the church being open on Sunday, and they're not coming. We're living in a land in which people are either none or done. Done with church or never been to church. We're facing financial pressure. We're facing the lack of a breakdown of an infrastructure in the church and outside. So when people say we need to go back to the way it was, we can't go back because it's not the same. But what it is that God is moving us past what we think we know to a new reality that God has for us in our lives. And we have to be able to bloom where we planted. We have to be able to build those things where we are and know that God walks with us, even in the unraveling and the frustration of our dreams of going back where we have come from. There's a story of a young woman. Her name is Emily Pearl Kingsley. And she published an essay in 1989 called Welcome to Holland. And it described those moments in her life when things don't work out the way that we plan. In her case, she had a child that had special needs. And she writes about this experience. She said, when you're going to have a baby, it's like planning a fabulous vacation trip to Italy. You buy a bunch of guidebooks and you make your wonderful plans. The Colosseum, the Michelangelo David, the gondolas in Venice. You may learn some handy phrases in Italian. It's all very exciting. After months of eager anticipation, the day for you to go to Italy finally arrives. You pack your bags and you go. Several hours later, the plane lands. The stewardess comes in and says, "Welcome to Holland." "Holland," you say. "What do you mean, Holland? I signed up for Italy. I'm supposed to be in Italy. All my life, I've dreamed of going to Italy." But there's been a change in the flight plan. They've landed in Holland, and there you must stay. The important thing is that they haven't taken you to a horrible, disgusting, filthy place full of pestilence, famine, and disease. It's just a different place. So you must go out and buy new guidebooks. And you must learn a whole new language. And you will meet a whole new group of people you would never have met. It's just a different place. It's slower paced than Italy. It's less flashy than Italy. But after you've been there for a while and you catch your breath, you look around and you begin to notice that Holland has windmills and Holland has tulips. Holland even has Rembrandts. But everyone you know is busy coming to and from Italy. And they're all bragging about what a wonderful time they've had. And for the rest of your life, you will say, "Yes, that's where I was supposed to go. That's what I had planned." And that pain will never, ever, ever go away. Because the loss of that dream is a very, very significant loss. But if you spend your life mourning the fact that you didn't get to Italy, you may never be free to enjoy that very special, very lovely thing about Holland. Brothers and sisters, we have to bloom where you planted. Our plans never, never would have ever imagined where we are now. Some of us want to be big movie stars. Some of us make a whole lot of money. Some of us want to be sports stars. Some of us want to do great and grand things. And maybe even some of us want to go on back home. And some of us here in this place know that we can't go back home. But what I can tell you is that wherever God puts you, that God will equip you, that God will bless you, that God will use you for God's kingdom. So no matter where you are in life, no matter where you want to be, Know that although it may not be comfortable to you, and your dream may be shattered, but God has a new dream and a new vision for your life, that you no longer have to go back to what you had known, but go to the future that God has for you, brothers and sisters, today. That we may live in this place that God has for us, as foreign as it is, as difficult as it is, knowing that we don't live it alone, but we live it with a God who has allowed us through the Holy Spirit to do the best that we can where we are. So brothers, the saying is true. It ain't where you're from. It's where you're at.
Amen.
Amen. Our invitational hymn is on page 8 of our bulletin, Pass Me Not. And now the doors of the church are open. Maybe there are some of you who want to give your life to Christ for the very first time. Maybe there are some of you who want to join us here at Davis Street Presbyterian Church. Or maybe there are some of you that we may pray for, that you feel like that you are stuck and want to go back to what you have known. But we can assure you that no matter where you are, God equips you for service where you are. If you are one of those persons, we ask you may stand as we all sing. Or come to the front as we all stand and sing.